Blog Talk Radio.
You miss me? I miss all of y'all. Hey. All y'all girls standing together like that. Keep shaking.
GP family, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Ashley Goodman, and this is the BYGP Locker Room Show. Tonight, I'll be speaking with Mr. Jay Foreman. Jay was a standout linebacker at University of Nebraska and was drafted in 1999 in the fifth round by the Buffalo Bills. Jay went on to play for the Texans, the Giants, and 49ers and played for a total of 8 years in the NFL. He's also the son of Chuck Foreman, who was a star running back in the NFL playing for the Vikings and the Patriots. He currently is staying busy as a business owner, his foundation educating both youth and adults about diabetes. And during the football season, he works with the Houston Texans and University of Nebraska as a football analyst. So we're going to patch Jay in. Jay, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you perfect.
Good, good. Well,
hello.
Thank you so much for coming on, and we definitely appreciate you taking the time to speak with us.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So tell us, how was it, you know, growing up, a little bit about your childhood and being the son of Chuck and, you know, that whole process? How was that?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a unique upbringing. I always tell people, I guess I never got to have a true childhood just because of who my dad was. But I think, you know, I always tried to take the positive out of every negative. And one of the things I always tried to focus on is that I got to, I guess, you know, whether I liked it or not, I had to mature a lot faster just because I was introduced to certain situations, certain type of people, maybe a lot faster and a lot sooner than the normal kid. But then as I, you know, became an adult, I think I was more prepared to handle maybe stressful situations. I was able to process information and then also to hopefully, well, ideally, you like to think that I was able to make a more educated decision as at a younger point in my life. But, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world. It was definitely, you know, something that as the everyday kid doesn't get to experience, but I wouldn't change it for the world just because I think it's maybe helped me be, I guess I'm biased in my opinion, maybe more mature beyond my years. But, you know, I really enjoyed it for the most part.
So then tell us about the first game you remember watching your dad play and the feeling that you got from that.
Well, to be honest with you, when my dad retired, I was just, he retired in 80. I was born in 76, so I had to be, you know, around 3.5, 4 years old. So I never really got to remember watching my dad play live, but I remember the first time I really realized he was, I guess, a superstar. And I was in, you know, maybe the first or second grade, and he came to pick me up. And, you know, every kid in the school, along with the teachers and principal, were lining up to get an autograph from him. And I just didn't know who he was. And I remember a kid, I don't remember his name, came up to me and said, "Do you know who your dad is?" And I was like, "Yeah, he's my dad." But then he told me, like, "Dude, your dad's Chuck Foreman." You know, at that time was the best running back in Minnesota history. I would say Adrian Peterson probably has surpassed that. So, you know, from then on, I kind of knew my life would be different. My dad sat me down, you know, maybe, you know, fifth, sixth grade and told me that, you know, things are going to be different for you. So you have to make sure that you're on your P's and Q's and you work a lot harder than the average kid because there's going to be a lot more pressure on you. And, you know, he's always been a very supportive, you know, father and a friend, and also he's one of the people that pushed me probably the hardest, and you know, as far as athletically. So, you know, it was unique. You know, it was something I'll never forget. But then also something I didn't know, I couldn't grasp it at such an early age as well.
Yeah. So you speak about the pressure and that your dad did sit you down and speak about, you know, what may come along with being a son. Did you ever feel at any time pressured to play football as a kid, or did you naturally just love the sport?
Oh, well, I think that, you know, I kind of like naturally loved the sport, but then also I knew that there was a lot of pressure that comes with it because automatically, you know, they put you in a running back. And so I didn't know anything different. I knew my dad was a running back. That's what I was supposed to do. I think athletically I was probably light years ahead of some of the kids, especially early on that I was playing against, and it was had some pretty good success. But the funny thing about it, the more I played running back, the more it made me fall in love with defense, just because, you know, running back, you have to depend on, you know, 9-10 other people for you to be successful. I think on defense it's more of a team, you know, more team aspect, and I really liked it. And it was kind of one of those things that it was like defense was in a lot of ways taken away from me. So then I was like, hey, I gravitated towards defense, and I had the chance, obviously, to move over to defense a couple games in high school. And then once it hit college, it was, you know, I fell in love with it.
What age did you start playing?
Oh, I think the earliest I could. I don't think I played the first year because my dad didn't really want me to play. And then I kept begging him, and then, you know, he let me play. And maybe fourth grade, fifth grade back then, and, you know, little peewee leagues. We didn't know what we were doing. We were powder puff, so. You know, from then on, it was, you know, I was hooked. But then, you know, he pushed me towards basketball too. I love basketball, but I always tell people I couldn't get over 6'2". So there's plenty of people in six, you know, that are 6'2" in New York and all the different places where they're probably just as good as me. So I figured, you know, might as well stick with this football thing because there's more scholarships. And you know, that was the biggest thing, is get an education.
So you speak about that. Did your parents really push education on you? That was a big thing within your family?
Yeah, my dad is one of his, I guess, famous sayings, which, you know, obviously he didn't originate, but he said, look, Jay, they can always, you know, people can take your money. You know, the game will take your body. You know, but one thing they'll never ever take away from you is your education. And he's like, go to school, which he meant college, and get you a good, degree, education, and learn some stuff, and, you know, try to set yourself up for the future. So I always, you know, thought about that. And one great story about my dad is I was in the eighth grade, you know, and I was eligible by school standards, and I think I got a D and a D plus in a couple of classes. Pretty much I wasn't exerting myself. So he took me off the basketball team for, you know, 3 weeks until, you know, the next quarter grades came out. And what that taught me was, you know, you just don't get to go to school and be average and academically and then be excellent athletically. You have to try to be the best you can at both. And so, you know, from then on, I always make sure I put as much effort into academics as I did football.
So within that was, I mean, you got that D and he pulled you out. Did you have any issues, you know, with your grades in high school, or was that pretty much, you know?
No, that was pretty
then?
Much it. I mean,
okay.
That was pretty much about it. I mean, I wouldn't say that I was, you know, I had to work at everything, you know, at school. You know, I wasn't one of those guys that was gifted intellectually, but, you know, I knew, you know, that let me know, because my grades immediately went out when I put the effort in. Studied more. I put more into the test. So once I figured out that, or once I knew, you know, I need to put an effort in the education, it all worked out. And so it was one of those things that, you know, I wouldn't say I never had any problems, but I never had any problems with the effort. And that's really, I think, what sometimes education comes down to. You know, I think there's a lot of kids out there that, you know, probably have some learning disabilities. But I'm saying, you know, when all things are even, I think if you put enough effort into education, as you know, student athletes do athletically, I think you would see grade point averages and graduation rates, you know, obviously skyrocket. So, and that's my unbiased opinion.
Yeah, well, I totally agree. I think effort is definitely something that not only is on the field, but off the field as well. So did you think, I mean, where did you attend high school off again?
I went to Eden Prairie High School, and it was Minneapolis suburb, you know, up and coming, I guess, and, you know, more or less middle class. And so, but the academic standards, not only in Gray, but in Minnesota, are pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's very competitive, and kids are trying to go Eden Prairie, go to Harvard, and all that other stuff. So you had to, you know, you try to have to keep up, or you will get left behind. So, you know, I think that helped out as well. There's a lot of other kids that, you know, were playing athletics, but then they went on, you know, to do great things, the Air Force and stuff like that. So I think it was one of those things that, you know, was instilled for me from the people around me. And, you know, they always say, you know, it takes a village to, you know, help raise a child. And the peer pressure in the village that was around me, I was pretty fortunate enough to be able to be around a pretty strong academic prowess village, and obviously the peer pressure as well.
Speaking of academics, do you agree with NCAA changing the rules with increasing their GPA to 3.2?
Well, yes and no. And the reason why I say a little bit on the no side is because you get a lot of kids that are from, say, the inner city of Philadelphia or New York, where they're not getting the same opportunities as a kid, say, from where I'm from. And so, therefore, you're holding, you know, you're having a blanket GPA for kids that aren't on the same playing field. And I understand where they're coming from, where, you know, it's an effort thing. And you know, you have a lot of kids that think they're just going to go from high school, college as a pit stop, and then to the pros. And that's, you know, the numbers have never changed. It's around 1%, and it's never going to change. And that's the way it's going to be. It's the way it's always going to be from here on out, unless they start increasing teams. So I understand the thought process, but then also I don't think that they put, I wouldn't say they didn't put enough effort in, but also I didn't think they put enough of emphasis on the people that aren't are at a disadvantage. And there's just as many people that are disadvantaged that there are in an advantageous situation.
Yeah, and I totally do agree with you that, you know, some athletes are coming into the college scene and not prepared whatsoever. So I do agree with you on some of those points. Do you think, I mean, you said you turned into, you went to defense once you reached high school. Tell us the best memory or the greatest memory you have playing playing high school ball.
Well, you know, even though I was Chuck Foreman's son, I wasn't highly recruited. For whatever reason, you know, people didn't think that they could play a good brand of high school football in Minnesota. So Lane Kiffin, who was the head coach of, you know, in a couple different universities, was at a rival high school. They had Dave Watson, who was the eventual Minnesota Player of the Year, and they had another guy named Lloyd Lee, who was a Division I player, all on the same team. We played them on homecoming, and our starting quarterback got hurt, so then our starting safety had to play quarterback, so I got to play safety. Long story short, I knocked Dave Watson out of the game, picked Lane Kiffin off, and knocked Lloyd Lee out of the game. And the next thing you know, all the offers and teams were coming. So it was kind of one of those things that I knew going into that game, if I ever wanted to get noticed, essentially a Jay Foreman against three other guys, but, you know, I was able to step up and make some plays. So, you know, that is my, you know, my greatest memory, not only in high school, but one of my greatest memories athletically as well.
Yeah, well, it sounds like that one game just shot you through the recruiting process then.
Yeah. And you know, gave me the confidence that I could play on a big stage, know, as big as stage as you could be in high school at that time. But then also let me know that when the pressure was on, I could perform at the highest level that I need to get the job done. So, you know, I always kind of drew back on certain situations like that in my life. And you know, whether it was, you know, football or, you know, a tough situation, I was able to draw back on games like that in order to get the extra energy boost to be successful.
So then what was the first letter that you got from a college?
The first letter, oddly enough, is I got from Miami. My dad went to Miami. We were a Miami household. My uncle went. And, you know, so I grew up a Miami fan. So they sent me my first recruiting letter the first day. You know, I wanted to go to Miami, but they thought I was a foregone conclusion. I didn't hear from them it was too late. So that was my first letter. But, you know, it wasn't my last, and it was just one of those things that, you know, once they start coming, you know, every university in the Midwest region were kind of, I guess, either taking a peek at me or looking. So, you know, a lot of it might have been just paper pushing, but then some of it was some serious inquiries as well.
Did you ever feel any pressure? I mean, you just said your household is a Miami house. Did you feel pressure to be looking at specific schools, or did your family let you do that, you know, on your own?
Yeah. Well, it was pressure to go, but then, you know, go to Miami, and I wanted to go to Miami, to be honest with you, but they didn't put in the effort, so I didn't want to go somewhere where they didn't truly want me, and I think Nebraska probably saw the potential in me. They knew I was undeveloped, But then they also knew that I could eventually hopefully turn into something. So it kind of worked out well on both ends. You know, my dad had to swallow the pride pill in order for me not to go to Miami, but it ended up working out pretty decent.
Now, you just spoke on Miami didn't really put in the effort on really pressuring you to attend there. Do you think, you know, telling young athletes who are listening in, do you think that should be something that they really do consider, even though they may have their heart on a specific school?
Yeah.
But that specific school is just really not pushing to get them.
Yeah.
Do you think that should be a consideration?
Yeah, you got to go to a school that wants you, and you got to go to the best situation for you. You know, you can't let outside factors make a decision for you, because ultimately you got to pick a school where you could possibly see yourself living for the rest of your life, whether it's city, faculty, and just people in general, let alone playing football, because football isn't forever. You know, the NFL stands for not for long, so you better get your mind right, and 4 years can go by quick. So you got to recognize that, you know, it's something that's you know, very intense situation, but you got to make the best decision for you.
Who said the NFL not for long? I've never heard of that.
Well,
who
it's just
that?
The acronym that you use. Today.
Well, yeah.
Everybody tells you that. You just know that the NFL career in general is short. Oddly enough, at NFL, it says not for long, and that's the truth.
Yeah.
And it's not for long. You know, everybody sees Peyton Manning. He gets to play as long as he wants until he feels like retiring. That's not the norm. And the norm is a 2 or 3 year career, and then you're off on your own. And you're not a football player. You're not an NFL player. You're a former athlete, former NFL player. So it turns on you quick, and you got the rest of your life to live. And so you got to be able to be prepared for it as much as you can.
Now, Jay, you went to Nebraska. What was it about Nebraska that ended up being or feeling for you being the right choice?
Well, really, to be honest with you, I went to Nebraska because I was the closest one to home, besides Iowa, and they were always winning at that time Big Eight championships. And you know, I used to my only familiarity with Nebraska was that they were getting beat by Miami every year. So I thought it was a good thing to come to Nebraska, just because I knew I'd win all the time, and then hopefully by my senior year, I'd get a chance to play. Now it turned out that I started all 4 years, but I will tell you, once I got on campus, my expectations were very low. And I exceeded expectations, so I was pretty happy about that.
Now, you say your expectations were low. How so? Like playing-wise or just the whole environment?
Both. You know, I didn't come to Nebraska to go to the NFL. I came to Nebraska to get an education, and then hopefully by my senior year, I would have liked the chance to have been a captain and then to start my senior year. So that's what you know, I guess you wouldn't call those low expectations, but those were trying to be realistic, and I just ended up starting all 4 years.
That definitely works. Did you feel like you were spot on with starting, or did you feel like you should have maybe done a redshirt year?
No, I did redshirt, but then I started all 4 years after my redshirt. So
okay.
It was one of those things that I started all 4 years, but I was in college for part 4 or 5.
Now tell us how you felt, you know, when your family did drop you off on campus, this whole new chapter for you. How did you feel? Were you excited, nervous? You know, what was that?
It was everything. You know, it was like you're a fish out of water. You're scared, nervous, but then also you're excited because you finally I got to be away from home, no rules, and didn't have to answer to my dad. But then also I knew that I had to get in line with new rules, and those rules were set forth by the culture that was already set with the team. So it was my new family, and I just had to adjust, and it took a while. And that's what good thing about a redshirt year is that you get to adjust and, you know, and get to adjust to college. So it kind of worked out twofold on the good end, you know, so I can't complain.
What do you feel the hardest part for you adjusting that first year was?
It was just all the free time, academics.
Okay.
But then, you know, redshirting, you know, you don't play in the game, so you kind of get a little leg up to kind of, you know, get your routine down. But the first month, you know, I think, you know, I will say it, you know, I partied hard because I never, you know, did any partying in high school, so I made up for it. But once I got, you know, a little dose of reality, you know, I came back to earth, and it all worked out.
Now, did you feel Nebraska had a solid support system for collegiate athletes to succeed in the classroom? Jay, do I have you with me? I think we lost him. Let's see if we can get him back on. I know he was having some issues with weather in Nebraska, so let's see. We'll wait for a little bit to see if Jay comes back on with us. In the meantime, guys, I'm hoping that all this information that Mr. Foreman has given you is helpful for your own journey in football and in life in general. We do want to give you as much, information and tools to use for your own process when you're trying to decide what college to attend, no matter if that is a D1, D2, D3. It just has to be the right fit for you. So as we wait for him, guys, I wanted to tune in and let you guys know some things that is going on with BYGP. We have very soon the BYGP TV coming on. Check that out. We're going to give all that information on our Facebook page. So we will definitely let you know when we are launching that. We have some great, great footage and interviews with some knowledgeable people. Dr. Harry Edwards, who's been a consultant with the 49ers for 30 years, and he's also been a professor for sociology and sports at the University of Cal Berkeley. We have also spoken to former players at Cal and, high school athletes as well. I don't know if we are going to get him on, but let's just see a little bit. Guys, if you at all, by any means, need to contact us at any means, reach out to us on Facebook or email, and we will always contact you back to get more information on Before You Go Pro. So thank you so much for tuning in. I'm so sorry that we lost Jay, but next Tuesday at 6:30 Pacific time, we will be speaking with former University of Colorado quarterback Darren Hagan. He was the starting quarterback in 1990 when Colorado won the NCAA Division I-A National Football Championship. And in 1989-91 when Colorado was the Big 8 Conference Champion. He currently is Director of Player Development at CU. It's going to be a great show full of advice for you young athletes. You definitely do not want to miss that. So that's next Tuesday at 6:30. This is Ashley Goodman signing off for BYGP and the rest of the BYGP team. Have a good night, guys.